And this is March the 29th, 1954. This is a talk on the evolution and use of self-analysis. This book is relatively misunderstood. In the first place, it is obvious that a process as simple as that contained in self-analysis would not do anything for anybody. That's obvious. And in the second place, it's obvious that everybody's in better shape than this book calls for. various processes which are available to an auditor as we go up along the line include one that is about the lowest rung you can hit, which is mimicry, treatment of psychotics. You mimic them. Mimic them physically. That is, not verbally, but physically. They're lying down doing nothing, you lie down do nothing. They'll get irked after a while, you've gone into communication with them. That, in essence, is communication duplication. So, that's about as low as we can get beyond some mechanical aids for psychotics. Now we go up the line from that, we find out there's another process known as contact, SOP8, step 7. And contact is just find something real and reach for it and withdraw from it. That's a surprising little process. Now, SOP8, step 6, is actually this book. And SOP8 is written to do a lot of work for a lot of auditors without a tremendous amount of instruction. And the instruction itself on SOP 8 6 is in this book rather than SOP 8 step 7. Well, SOP 8 step 6 step 7 step 5, all of these things are a case level. I want you to get this rather clear here. SOP 8 has case levels and is the structure of cases. SOP8C has nothing to do with case levels. Although it approximates the same processes, it is designed to be run on somebody who is exteriorized, SOP8C. All right, but SOP8, step 6, means neurotic, a neurotic case. SOP8, step 7, means psychotic case level. SOP 8, step 5, means resistive occluded. SOP 8, step 4, is somebody who is having problems with havingness. They're having problems with ownership, havingness, and so forth. And do not exteriorize until these are remedied. This person probably has a little bit of visio, spotty, and so forth. SOP 8, step 3 is simply somebody who is nailed down because he can't tolerate space easily. And once you've remedied space on him, why, he exteriorizes easily. SOP 8 step 2 is somebody who is exteriorized simply by getting him to get a mock up of his body. It's a case level. The fellow is using a little more energy than he should. And a step 1 simply exteriorizes. SOP 8 is actually a rundown of how much inside are they and what are these case levels, say, SOP 8. Now, that has to do, to a large degree, then, with Homo sapiens. That is, Thetan plus body, Thetan in body, that sort of thing. Now, we get over to 8C, and we're taking it for granted that somewhere along the line, why, we're going to make theta exterior, but with SOPHC, we depend on exteriorization techniques, some additional techniques. Now, we have, in addition to SOP8 and SOPHC, we have what was being used in Unit 4, and which we're simply calling Unit 4 procedures, just some elements put together which are used. That's a fairly easy set up there. It's fairly easy to audit. It's very simple. But there is a new thing in there. There's two new things in that SOP Pardon me, Unit 4. You could call it SOP Unit 4. There are two new things in it, really, and one of those is beingness processing, the other is universe processing. And these are very important processes. We're going to spend a lot of time with those processes. But with self-analysis, we have a medium which, one, will not get people into trouble. Two, which is very easy to use. And three, which cuts across practically all the cases you will encounter. In other words, there's a certain security in using it, because it wouldn't matter who walked up to you, self-analysis would do something. Well, now, self-analysis does an awful lot of things, but it also has some limitations. And let's look at the limitations before we go into what it will do and how we use it. And those limitations are very, very marked. On a great many cases, I would say the majority of cases, self-analysis works for quite a few hours. It works probably very, very well for about 50 hours, and then slumps. And in many cases, will slump earlier than that. But by slump, that doesn't mean the person goes back to his original state. That merely means the process hangs fire. The person just doesn't improve. His IQ doesn't improve above a certain point, and so on. It'll improve him up to a certain point, in other words, and then hang fire. Now, why does it do this? Well, he probably ran up to and including with self-analysis all of the situations which could easily be remedied without recourse to universes. We didn't just neglected any problem of universes or anything like that, and we just cleaned up everything we could clean up with relationship to universes, and that's it. This fellow is stuck, let us say, without getting too technical, let's say this fellow's stuck in Mother's universe. Well, we've cleaned up everything he can reach in Mother's universe. And he really sort of is using up the same energy now over and over. He just gets up to a point where he marks time. This you can expect with this process, simply because that's what happens when it's used on children. Now, there's no better test of a technique than its use and results on children, because children are usually in better shape in one lifetime than adults by a long ways. So if a process will hang fire on children after 25 or 50 hours, you can certainly expect it to hang fire on an adult. Therefore, it has a limitation. It's actually a limitation of the amount of energy which a person can easily invest into mock-ups. Now, you get somebody who's still creating energy, and you could go on making mock-ups forever. But you get somebody who is depending on other things to create energy for him, and you simply use up the available store of energy and reinvest them into mock-ups. You just change the frame and pattern. You've handled just so much energy, and after that he doesn't handle any more energy. It isn't that his mock-ups go off. He'll go on getting mock-ups. He'll do the same thing. But you'll notice a curve upwards, a rather steep curve right at front. A curve so steep in terms of advancement in the early stages of the use of self-analysis that it's almost a vertical line. It's a tremendous advance, you know, in its first uses, in almost any case. Because it, in using it, cracks through the neurotic level. And it just cracks through it, and it cracks through it on the same level that it's firing a rocket. But like a rocket, it runs out of fuel in a hurry. So we can crack somebody up through a level of his immediate workaday world, the problems of havingness, his surroundings, immediate conflicts, things like this have a tendency to diminish. And he gets less worried than previously, and life goes on much better for him. But if we just kept on using self-analysis, he would get up to a saturation point, because you're just handling energy that he's already handled. In other words, we've taken up the available supply in the universe in which he finds himself, and there we have it. All right. The fact that it's limited, though, doesn't immediately preclude the use. Scientology. You know, just because a pair of pliers won't build an automobile is no reason you wouldn't use a pair of pliers on an automobile. I think that you would be rather embarrassed if in trying to keep an automobile running you didn't have a pair of pliers. And similarly with self-analysis. Auditors commonly and continually neglect this book. And something else happens. When somebody writes in and says, we have a desperate case on our hands, that person is dramatizing Q&A, duplication. This person's just dramatizing the fact that he's being desperate because the case seems desperate, and therefore what's indicated is that we must use a desperate process. So he says, where is the auditor, or what nearby asylum uses Scientology, or let's immediately call for ambulances or something of the sort, because the person with whom we are dealing is frantic. Therefore, we must have frantic means. He doesn't ever add that phrase. It just reads through everything he's doing. All of a sudden, somebody's wife is in terrible condition. She maybe just had a baby or something like that. And she comes back home and mutters to herself quite long and arduously about how she's going to kill the child at the earliest possible moment or something like that. And, of course, this is a desperate situation. So everybody wants to get desperate. Well, they'll occasionally write the HAS desperately. And I get the letter, and the same reply always goes back. And the reply is as follows. Because such an emergency case and so forth actually is not something that would find an auditor immediately going out and looking up. In the first place, these cases are temporary. They are very hard to audit. And it generally is the rest of the family that needs auditing. It's not a case of auditing a case. Yeah, you'd have to audit the whole family. Now, we have group processing. That's possible. All right. So we write them a standard letter, and I say, well, now, there's a little book, self-analysis, sending you a copy of it, and what you want to do is read its instructions and then sit down and read this to the person. Normally, these people are not out of communication. They can do such a process. All right. Days go by, weeks go by. We hear no more about it. Maybe about a month later, we get this letter, and it says, well, we took, see, just forget about self-analysis, we took this patient to see an auditor, and the patient was audited for 2 hours and isn't clear, and the problem seems to be very bad and so forth, and what do we do now? Well, this isn't the kind of a case, you see, that's going to surrender in 2 hours. Well, you say, we'll get some interested member of the family and take the little book, which we sent you, and sit down and read the book to them and see if you can get them to do this. And, you know, every once in a while, after about the third or fourth letter, somebody gets interested enough to do it. Just about that far off. Now, there's a professional auditor with so many processes which would do better or maybe faster work. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that case after case, he would crack up through a certain level. You know, he'd push him up to a certain level faster if he simply opened a copy of self-analysis and started in any place. Particularly, it's next to the last list. Now, well, we're here on the next to the last list. It says, the following usually stabilizes any of the above conditions. And here we get the most important process in self-analysis. It says, one, recall a time which really seems real to you. Two, recall a time when you really felt affinity from someone. Three, recall a time when someone was in good communication with you. Four, recall a time when you felt deep affinity for somebody else. Five, recall a time when you knew you were really communicating to somebody. Six, recall a time when several people agreed with you completely. Seven, recall a time when you were in agreement with somebody else. And eight, recall a time within the last 2 days when you felt affectionate. Nine, recall a time in the last 2 days when somebody felt affection for you. 10, recall a time in the last 2 days when you were in good communication with someone. 11, recall a time in the last 2 days which really seems real to you. And 12, recall a time in the last 2 days when you're in good communication with people. And 13, recall several incidents of each kind. Now, that process basically is just this. Now, let's recall something that really is real to you. Let's recall a time when you were in good communication with somebody. Recall a time when somebody was in good communication with you. Recall a time when you felt some affinity for somebody. Recall a time when somebody felt some affinity for you. Those are the basic questions. And there you have the snap point between upper psychosis and neurosis. The first time some of the people you work on, you wouldn't suspect these people were really batty. They probably would grow bat wings with the greatest of ease and the smallest amount of hormones. These people are apparently all right, and you go ahead and you work them. And after you've wasted yourself 2, 3, 4 hours of work, you find out that their case isn't advancing any place. Well, this is a question of first things first. You're going to build an automobile or something, but you neglected to pick up any iron to build them with. This person's havingness is in terrible condition. Ordinarily, this is true. So what condition do we find immediately? We find that this person cannot have a past. This he's certain of. This is the most thing he's certain of. Although he is living in the past, he cannot have a past. He is out of present time. You will see the mechanics of this very adequately in universe processing. The mechanics of psychosis just lie straight out in front of you. Why a psychotic goes into the past and so forth. Mainly a question of energy. But here we have an individual who can't have any past. Well, if he's a little short on energy and he can't create any, the only place he can look for it's in the past, isn't it? So if he can't have any past and the only place he could have any spare energy would be from the past, why, he's on about the biggest maybe that you could get onto. He's got to reach into the past to get some additional energy because he can't create it anymore. Yet he can't reach into the past because there's no energy in the past for him to reach for. No part of the past is touchable. You could call this person a person with an untouchable past. Now, nearly everybody that you walk into who is in any kind of poor condition, I mean, you know, standard, normal, is badly out of contact with the past. Badly. So you ask them to remember something that's real. And quite often, this will amaze you. Don't be too startled to have a case every now and then, a case appear which takes 15 minutes to remember something real. Don't be too surprised at this. You could help him out and fish around and get something just a moment ago and do it on gradient scales and so forth. But if you just suddenly ask him that, you don't have to do that, you see. Just ask him the question. Let's remember something is really real to him. And he goes clouding around and fooling around and so forth, that it's 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, yes, what you've done there is ask him for something that's safe to remember. You see, instead of, this is the way something real translates to him, something that's safe to remember. And he'll remember it with great reality, which is, say, great security, which is great reality. And he will remember this, and then he'll feel better. And you can almost hear a case click when it does this and has the difficulty in doing so. But on almost anybody that has never been accustomed or acquainted with auditing, is you just come along and start asking him those questions, one after the other, you get an astonishing result. Now, here, for 3 years, that technique has been known, used. 3 years. Every now and then, I get a hold of some preclear that's having a lot of trouble. Been audited a lot of trouble. And I ask them this question. Has anybody ever asked you to find anything real? And the preclear, quite uniformly, says, no, nobody ever asked me that question. You say, all right, remember something that's really real to you. And every now and then, not in each case, but every now and then, why, one of these persons will go click, snap, and relax about existence. They found out there is a part of the past. They can have a past. And this is something to have. They did exist yesterday. Well, if they didn't exist yesterday, you see, and they're definitely worried about whether they're existing now, it's certainty that they're not going to exist in the future. So here we have a case of straight survival. No future. See, if they didn't exist yesterday, they can't have any proof that they're going to exist tomorrow either. They're trying to prove that they can exist tomorrow by saying that they existed yesterday. Well, they can't do this because there's nothing real in yesterday. Yesterday didn't exist. So let's call your attention to that very sharply. How long could you carry on that process? Now, that process isn't as limited as the rest of self-analysis. How long could you carry on that process? I don't know, 500 hours? Doing what? Saying to a preacher, let's remember something real to you. Now, let's remember a time when you were in good communication with somebody. Time when somebody was in good communication with you. You could just go on and on and on and on, but it's an individualized process because it takes people different lengths of time to recall something, you see. So it's really not a good group process and actually will bog people if run on a group. I watched it bog a group. You remember something real, and then the 50% of the group that is doing so well, they didn't get it because the auditor only took 30 seconds or something to ask his next question, and that was much too soon on this group. So it's not really a good group process, but it's an excellent individual process. Now, what would happen if you ran that long? If you just sat down and ran this on somebody that long, 500 hours, what would happen? A very remarkable thing would occur probably in about 30 hours or something like that. They would run out of straight wire for this lifetime. Call that straight wire questioning, stringing a straight communication line. They'd run out of material that was immediately something grand, and they'd crack through into things that weren't quite real but were getting more real in past lives. Now, this is a spooky thing, and auditors don't like to run things on people and make them too spooky, and it takes too long to produce this effect. It's one of those slow effects. I had it tested out one time. I had two auditors testing it for me over a weekend, and these boys audited about 12 hours apiece over the weekend just with that process because they had a busy week ahead of them otherwise, and they almost audited themselves into the ground. And at the end of that time, just the thought of somebody remembering something real made these boys want to scream. But both of them, on their test cases and so forth, cracked through into complete reality on incidents in earlier lives. In other words, they just ran out of material immediately available in this life. Now, of course, they were auditing a medium grade of preclear. You could audit 24, 25 hours on some preclear who was very bad off. A step 5 is not terribly bad off, but a step 6 is pretty bad off. A step 7 is horribly bad off. You could audit this on a step 6 or a step 7 for probably 24, 25 hours, and they would get back finally the last month. I mean, it just takes so long, because you see, this is the one test which you use as an auditor, and you always use this test, is communication lag. It's what we call communication lag. The reply to the question, the reaction to the stimulus. How long does it take for a person to react to certain stimuli? Now, that is reaction time. In Scientology, it's communication lag. Reaction time, my hat. It never did anything for anybody. It merely told somebody whether somebody was drunk or something like that. That's been its total use. Now, with an understanding of communication itself, you will understand very quickly in investigating this that it takes the preclear as long to answer as he has extraneous and unnecessary communication bric-a-brac kicking around between himself and the body. In other words, it takes him as long to answer as he has extraneous, unnecessary mass around his body. He's got a terrific amount of, quote, mental energy, stagnant, stuck, ridges, old communication lines, old computations, old machinery, junk. And you say to him, hello. Now, it's going up through a communication system, which is going this way and that way and shunting over this way and through the resistances that way and on up the line, and finally hits something which is pretending it's him, and he receives hello. So he turns that over. He hears hello, and he answers immediately, actually. He says, how are you? And then this how are you goes down all these lines and goes over to another lines and over shunts and resistances and past this ridge and down through that ridge and through a couple of caves and in a couple of vacuums and through a couple of blank spots and comes into the voice box finally. And the voice box activates, and it says, how are you? Well, what it sounded like to you was you said, hello. How are you? These people really sometimes, most of the time, they think they're answering right up. You don't realize there's that much time avoided. Now, most of the nervousness you have in talking with people is the amount of time you have to wait for this answer. They're as dead as they have time in their communication system. How dead is a person? He's as dead as he has time in his communication system. If a fellow has a communication lag of 20 minutes, he's practically gone. Now, you see a person's communication lag lengthen in sickness. You see this easily. Gets very weak, and so on. But people walk around who are apparently feeling all right, who have the same kind of communication lag. Well, they're a case of not-there-ness. You have to run up so many lines and over so many shunts and under so many railroad trestles and so forth in order to get to this person that you'd think he lived about 8 stars and 12 universes from you before you can finally get a communication back. Well, now, how would you know then how long to go on asking a person to remember something real? How would you know when to quit? Well, you would quit when you got his communication lag markedly shortened to something approaching an acceptable communication lag so that he could easily carry on a rather fast conversation, let us say, with a high school boy. You see, you ever hear teenagers communicate? It almost gets completely stated and then it's answered. You know, back and forth. Well, if you could push a fellow through up to something like that kind of a communication lag, that's still a lag, by the way, you'd still have something. You'd really have something. Well, you don't have to get it that good. Get his communication lag down to about a tenth of a second. So that you say, hello, he says, how are you? You know, it's received and it goes out again. Because he would be in terrific shape if you did that. He wouldn't be interrupting you or anything like that. He'd be in terrific shape. Well, if you took somebody off the street and you asked them to remember something real, by the way, you would explain what you wanted them to do. You really wanted to recall something real. You explain it to them first so they don't have to fumble over this one. And then you say, now, all right, now, recall something real. And you'd find out that you could say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they'd say, okay. About a 5-second lag. 6 seconds. 10 seconds. Something like that. That's horrible. That's awful. This fellow, you ask him real quick, what'd you have for breakfast? He'd say, well, let's see. And all that was just in morning. I don't know what I think. Let's see. Oh, well, yeah. No, that was yesterday. In other words, he couldn't possibly pinpoint data like that. The whole bank is sort of just shotgunned. He can recall something real as long as you don't steer him. But if you ask him suddenly something specific, you'd find his communication lag just going on, out, 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 out. Therefore, how well off is your pretty clear that you're administering that next to the last list of self-analysis to? He's as well off as he answers and recalls swiftly. Now, if you think he's just faking, he really isn't recalling something. There's only one way that really would tell you accurately. That would be an e-meter. You could see the e-meter flick every time he remembered something real. You'd sit there and watch the e-meter, and it would bounce right there at the moment when he recalls something real. Then right afterwards, he'd say, yeah, he's recalled it. So there is an accurate check you could make. It ordinarily isn't necessary. People aren't that covert about it.